Thank you very much. Honorable members, we have received the following apologies for this meeting for 2 minutes from the Minister of Water and Sanitation, Human Settlement Water and Sanitation, Honorable Mr. Sulu, General Minister. We have received the report that the chair of the Hospital Committee of Hospital had an accident as he was coming to the meeting. She will be joining the meeting later. Honorable Mashiko is in another meeting, so you will join us later. We have received the last meeting that the Minister of Culture and the Deputy Minister Culture, the other one, Robert, they will be attending the investor conference. They are part of the delegation of the President to attend that conference. So I want to take this opportunity to welcome the leadership of government led by two deputy ministers, Honorable Mahlobo and Honorable Dalu, the leadership of Ghana. They were here in the previous meeting and they are here today. We want to appreciate that. In the last meeting, we had to see presentation from all the relevant departments. Today we are going to interact with those presentations that we have received. Before we start, because the two deputy ministers were not here, maybe I will give you 5 minutes just to talk about the subject matter, maybe to remind you that we have called the gathering in the last Tuesday to talk about the debt that our municipalities owned by government and municipalities owing the water board, and which creates problems for both of them to provide services to our people. So as the two committees, we them that we need to meet together and see how together we can be able to resolve the matter, because the way it continues do not actually help anybody. Actually, with water board, we're told that if we are not resolving the matter, we might not continue other projects that are in the pipeline. For water board, there's no fund to develop projects. So we can therefore call this meeting. I'm going to give you 5 minutes, 5 minutes, so that our then and our honorable members should go into, allow you to introducing yourself and how you know this matter, and then our honorable members to interact with the report that they received. I don't know what that is.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Deputy Minister myself, one of the members, Colleen. We have been on praise of the discussions of the Joint Committee last week, and the issues that were raised in the meeting, including the number of questions that remained outstanding from the discussion in the meeting last week. We had an opportunity to meet with the department, particularly the COST, based on the understanding that the meeting had requested that we have a consolidated approach between the departments of government, SALGA. We then had the team working jointly to develop what has come with the presentation. Of course, we know that the committee did not request the presentation, but we had the team prepare a presentation in case it could be relevant to the extent that it responds to the questions that have been raised in the meeting and the concerns that were brought to our attention. Indeed, I think it is important to acknowledge that the matter is one that we ourselves have dealt with, to the extent that we are following up on the work of the erstwhile interministerial task team that was appointed to establish the facts around debt owed by municipalities to both the water boards, but also to ESCOM. So a lot of the recommendations being presented come out of the work that was done by the ESCOM interministerial task team. And I'm emphasizing the point that it is ESCOM, to the extent that the sixth administration, that interministerial task team has not been established, but it becomes part of the work that is being done in other clusters of government, so it has not been established as a standalone interministerial task team. That does not suggest, however, that the work itself is not receiving attention to the extent that we're able to give the appropriate focus to the array of issues that are involved in what constitutes or results in the debt that is owed to water boards, which is the matter that we are discussing today. We acknowledge that a lot of this work has to do with, amongst others, the reality of, in certain instances, non-revenue water, and the extent to which this contributes, particularly in those municipalities with tight liquidity to meet their obligations. We also acknowledge that there are instances where there has been a requirement and a need for us to respond through intervention to ensure that the municipalities meet their obligations. And there have been instances where we've had to have discussions between the different departments of government to find solutions to the range of to the range of problems that are being experienced. And part of the solution also has to do with the collection of revenue that contributes to the challenges that our municipalities are confronting. But as I said, Honourable Chairperson, it is really based on your guidance as to whether the presentation that was circulated over the weekend would attempt to respond to the list of questions that remained outstanding from the meeting last week. But we are also willing to engage on the basis of the questions and discussions that the Honourable Member would want us to engage. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Your Excellency, Comrade Chair and Co-Chair, to His Excellency Comrade Deputy Minister Dow, Honourable Members, the leadership of SALGADAS here and the officials. Well, firstly, we need to thank you, Chair, for the wisdom of the committee to convey the joint meeting. And we appreciate it because from our side, we appreciate that the issue that was done in the last fifth administration of the institutional mechanism to coordinate this work, it's a work that needs to be revived, Chair. But we appreciate because we are coming to the stage where we are taking this matter seriously because of the difficulties we have of a number of municipalities for various reasons that are struggling. But the principle remains. People must pay for the services that are rendered. It's going to be very important that we respect that, despite the difficulties, because we know the water situation in the country. We don't have abundant water. It is a final resource. And we're becoming more stressed. Therefore, the little resources the water boards they need, Chair. In the main, as we are saying, they will help in infrastructure planning, the development because the infrastructure to be developed, and then including the question of management. And we're taking into cognizance that various municipalities are struggling. It can't be one size fits all. But there are also those municipalities, Chair, that even when the money is there, they don't pay. Even if their accounts are not disputed, they don't pay. The issue that has been raised by our colleagues in SALGA is well properly raised because we are not raising the matter for the first time. We know that there are issues around the billing system, and we are prepared that the billing system working with our colleagues in COFTA and Treasury, we should be able to fix the billing system. Secondly, there is a matter that is being raised, Chair, the matter of non-revenue water, which is the issues also to do with asset management and infrastructure management. We'll have to be able to determine at what point are we referring that there is non-revenue water, whether we're referring to the bank system, which is the board that are normally responsible for, whether we're speaking to the tail end to the recuperation, so that we'll be able to ensure that if the assets are properly maintained, we don't have a situation where people, they pay for water that they have not received. But they create the limitation to say whose part of the infrastructure we're referring to. And we have got a very clear view that there are certain matters that have been raised around the question of tariffs. And we're of the view that the department is very open for engagement. In as much as we have to engage, because that's why municipalities are participating. Probably the question is, are we participating at the right level? Are we engaging at the right level? Which is an important question. So at least when these decisions are ultimately signed off, what are the tariffs and other issues of affordability we need to deal with? But our view is that this meeting under your stewardship will be able to make us to find a way forward. But more importantly, understanding the impact that if we don't come to the party, we will not be able to guarantee the security of water supply for the next day. And it's important that this step needs to be taken now. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, DM, for that kind of remark. Honorable members, the department, as we addressed the last meeting, you said to them they must go and close the loophole in terms of the issues. That is to see that they were supposed to have done certain things they have not done. But I don't want to close that for members. I'm going to allow you to raise questions so that the department, as they are going to present, they will even respond to your questions as they present what is the consolidated report. So I'm going to invite honorable members to ask questions, honorable members, and then we'll then give them the opportunity to present the consolidated report. Or you can start with the consolidated report and come back to the question. But it's upon honorable members, because we attend the meeting, every board has raised their hands and said we don't have enough time. So do we get the consolidated report first, or we ask questions first, so that when they come, Honorable
Ivana
and
Honorable Chairperson, good morning everyone. Chairperson, I would suggest that we allow them to present so that we are able to ask questions. I assume that even those that have questions then, at least we will be in a better position to understand it after the presentation.
I should emphasize once again that it is a joint presentation. But the presenter will be Mr. Zemba, who is the CEO of this. But he's presenting on behalf of all the departments and all parties.
Thank you.
hundred and hundred.
Just bring it before you can.
Thank you. And we have got a lack of critical skills, in particular finance, and technicalities, municipalities, and the challenge of the tariffs that Matobo indicated, and the high non-revenue water, which is faced by many of our municipalities. Of course, the result of aging infrastructure, vandalism, and theft. And also, we're saying this escalating debt may also be attributed to the absence of an economic regulatory regime. I'll make an example, for instance, if you look at electricity, the inertia, tariffs and so forth, but if you start water, you don't have that kind of situation. And also, generally, as I've indicated, the cost of maintenance and the unauthorized connection, and also cost of providing services, that are the critical share that goes to municipality. It's another point that we are raising in a contributing factor that this committee should also look at. And the high consumption by indigents, for instance, improvement in the level of savings from communal to yard connections increases consumption of provision of services which are not necessarily costed through the indigents. And also, I think we are also acknowledging the fact that the bulk of the debt is historical. And in some instances, over 5 to 10 years. And also, consequently, majority of water service authorities operate their water distribution business at a deficit or at a break-even tariff. And this slide is a national water balance was done by Water and Sanitation in 2015, which again illustrates the challenge around the water balance and the contribution, therefore, in the revenue of municipalities and the high level of the non-revenue water. And we'll then in the next slide indicate what is government doing in attempt to respond to this problem statement that I've alluded to in the previous slide. Also, this slide again emphasizes the problems around physical connections and the vandalism, which results in the challenge that we are talking about today. And this slide, the slide that I think the committee is aware of in terms of the cost, the cash position of municipalities, and also the creditors, and also the debtors, in terms of the government debt, how much the commercial debt, as well as the household debt. I'm not going to go through it. And also this slide, that's a summary of the debt owed to the water trading entities and the water board as at 8th September 2019. And we have listed all the entities that are currently being owed by municipalities and how much is being owed and what is being done in the narrative column. I'm not going to go through that as well, Chair. I think that this one is known. And Chair, the next slide talks to the IFTTs that GM now reflected on earlier. To say there was an IFTT established by government to address the challenges relating to municipal debt owed to ESCOM and municipal debt owed to water board and trading entities. And there were resolutions taken which were subsequently tabled at the cabinet and were endorsed for implementation process. The first recommendation of the IMDT was, of course, the installation of prepaid meters for both electricity and water as the only way to sort of address this culture of payment. To say you sitting off there, you must use, then later you pay. It's not really working. It's not better that you pay than you use. So that's the whole story about the prepaid meters. And then there was also a resolution that there is a need for a government-wide campaign to encourage the culture of payment for facility. I will indicate the chair in terms of detail against each of these recommendations and the progress, therefore, where there is progress. And also there was the issue of the need for a strict management of payment with firm actions being taken by government before the court process comes to effect to avoid a situation where the government departments take at the outcome state in court. They were forced to address that at the government level before we get courts involved in this matter. And also the fixing of the municipality to ensure that the sustainability of services and finance address the issues of government, address the issues of financial management, address the issues of capacity deficit in key positions in municipalities, address the issues of credit control policies and so on. So these are the issues that the committee must address. And then there was the issue of saying there is a need for the restructuring of the debt. We give progress to that and federal science to lead on that particular area. Then the INCT chair came up with a strategy to say what do we need to do firstly to secure sustainability of these municipalities and ensure that the sustainable revenue management in these municipalities. And there were key strategies that were then looked upon to say we've got to address this. One, the issue of the government that must be addressed, the issue of making sure there is a technical capability and capacity in municipalities, and the issue of financial management and support to municipalities in terms of Section 154. Of course, the details indicated there in terms of what ought to be done, like the filling of vacancies, the capacity support, the recovery plan, financial recovery plan, the water conservation and demand management that must be done to address the issue of land revenue water, the leakages, and to address the alternatives and all the challenges that result in the losses in terms of the network. And also address the issue that GM Mashobo indicated about the issue of the operations and maintenance of existing infrastructure and making sure that we do the refurbishment of the existing infrastructure. And then, and of course, making sure that we eliminate leaks in the system. Then the issue around the debt, the structuring, that is the need that we make sure that municipalities have funded assets. And that at least the current account is up to date. And that the old debt, the historical debt that was reflected about the area debt is being spent and the municipalities are appreciated in terms of how do we then support them to address the old debt. The structures are currently attending in that particular matter and will reflect in the subsequent slides what exactly are the details that we are looking at in terms of options. And also the need to renegotiate the area amount and come up with incentive-based write-offs on interest. Then there was the issue of the government-wide campaign to encourage the culture of payments. Then the MTT came up with a communication-wide strategy. That strategy has been developed and was presented and adopted by the MTT, focusing on the national media campaign, the political campaign, and even but they emphasized in the political campaign. MTD was saying, for instance, the challenge of non-payment of debt is a whole of government problem, it's a societal problem, and it has to be addressed by everybody, including the political party, the civil society, the NGOs, and government. So we've got to have a social compact around this particular area. And there is a strategy to develop in terms of what ought to be done. And also the public service campaign, the change management, and the institutionalization of the culture of maintenance. We will allude better in the next slide in terms of the details. And also the issue of the provision of smart meters, the prepaid meters, which I've alluded to, I'll indicate in terms of what was the solution. And of course, the pilot and municipalities that were targeted in pilot in this area to implement the smart metering and the prepaid meters. And the need to address accurate data and the billing. And also improve the issue of revenue collection. And all this, we feel that if these pillars are implemented successfully by everybody, will result in the sustainability of municipalities and thus result in the ability of municipalities to honor their obligations. Now, coming to the initiatives I've alluded to about on the debt restructuring in terms of the progress, what has been done. As I've indicated, the Chancellor was tasked with drafting the implementation plan for two of the recommendations of the MTT. One, a process to deal with defaulting municipalities. Two, negotiate debt restructuring for water port as well as the EFCOM. And today, the Chancellor has drafted the implementation plan, the recommendations, and is engaging the Department of Water and Sanitation with a view to renegotiate the area amount owed to them by municipalities. And the engagement with TWS includes the following: ensuring municipalities have funded budget, including addressing the issue of current account payments, and ring-fencing the area debt, and also stopping the interest of escalating, and Treasury is internally engaging on this matter with the Office of the Accountant General, and also the issue of wavering interest in the form of exemption or deviation, and where it is also evident that the municipality will not be in a position to honor its obligation, a possible incentive-based debt write-off may be an option, and also revising payment arrangements, current size, as well as tax claims thereof. So this is the work that is currently on course between the South Treasurer and the TWS. And at an appropriate time, we'll then come back to reflect on the progress on the implementation of those initiatives. And in addressing the culture of non-payment, a COCTA was tasked by the ICT with drafting the implementation plan for the following recommendations. One, government-wide campaign to encourage the culture of payment for municipal services, installation of prepaid smart meters for electricity and water. And today, the communication strategy has been developed, focusing on the following key elements that are indicated here: the national media campaign, the political campaign, public service campaign, and change management. And the strategy has been costed, presented, and supported by the MTT. And MTT resolved that each member department constituting the MTT should make contributions towards the rollout of the campaign. In terms of, again, continuing with the culture of payment, we are reflecting here on the existing law. Today, in municipalities, Schedule 1 of the Code of Conduct of the Municipal Services Act provide for a councillor not to be in arrears to the municipality for rates and service charges for a period of longer than 3 months. And the same provision again applies to municipal officials as well, not to be in arrears for a period longer than that is question two. Not to be in arrears for a period longer than 3 months, and that a municipality may deduct any outstanding amount from a staff member's salary after this period. And we're saying this should not just end with the municipality. It should be a provision that is then implemented across the organs of the state. And that is the position that we were putting to the property. And there is also, on the government payment, there are options also which have been discussed at an ICT level, which are subject to policy or legislative consideration. Like the issue of the reallocation of payment by municipalities on trading basis. For instance, when you are in arrears for water and you're coming to pay your the municipalities have the right to reallocate that when you are owing and make sure that at least you have to pay when you are owing. And of course, this is subject to policy or legislative consideration that is indicated. And the issue of the staff and the capital areas is already addressed. And also, we're saying for those who want to do business with government, the SM tenders should not be considered if you owe a municipality. It should be the way, like if you owe SARS, you should first make sure that with regard to your SARS account, you have to date. And we're saying with your municipal account, it should be a requirement that must have to date before you are considered. Business. And the same with building plans, and the same with building business licenses, and the same with the payment of suppliers. So the current government is allowed to say, no, you're owing, before we pay you, let's check your debt is up. So I think this also should be an area that is looked at. And also the issue of the property of customers according to their credit history. It should also be looked at with you when you borrow money from the bank. That we must also be profile as well. And also the initiatives on the prepaid meters. The MTT recommended that a prepaid solution be piloted, and 4 municipalities were selected for pilot. That is Maluta, Kaukong, Chabazin, Inalet, and Kovenenbegi. And the selection was based on the work already undertaken in these municipalities by the South African National Energy Development Institute. They've done already the assessment in these municipalities, and they were in the process of recommending what needs to be done. And we're saying instead of starting a new process, let them work in those municipalities where already the work has been done, and pilots that must be challenged there. And I think the pilot process will deal with proof of concept, whether this initiative works or not, and where do we need to send it. It's of standardization of the technology that is required, and the issue of the systems, the processes, as well as policies in prepaid rollout. And to date, a vision plan has been developed and presented to the NTT and was endorsed. And there are financing options that are being explored to fund the pilot. And also, in terms of the prepaid, so I think the prepaid meters the potential of us to alleviate the debt problem in the following areas to improve the cash flow of the municipality, and also ensure that with your smart system, intelligent to manage the network, you'll be able to know where your losses are, and be able to do your water balancing properly. And also the reduction of the water losses, and addressing the culture of land payment. These are initiatives in terms of the funding options. I'm not going to go through this slide. And also on the billing, which is another challenge, the accuracy of the data and the dealing subsequently. I was saying that in addressing the non-collection of revenue, COCTA is currently implementing the simplified revenue plan for the two municipalities, and of course with an annex of the list of those municipalities across all provinces in the current financial year. And the main objective of the project is to ensure that the implementation plan assists municipalities to reduce their municipal debt, also assist municipalities to maximize on all possible revenue streams, and also assist municipalities to protect and enhance the revenue collection of the municipalities. And also in the project, amongst others, we focus on the revenue of the blue chain, and blue is looking at resolving the following issues: the dealing with challenges, credit control challenges, the indigent management challenges I objected on in the problem statement, and the major opportunities. And of course, below is the table depicting the municipality currently supported through this initiative. And I'm not going to go through each, the municipality indicated there and what exactly is being done. But already, if you look into this slide, you see since the implementation of this initiative, there are improvements in terms of revenue collection in some of these municipalities where we are implementing the program. We say to our things in the program can be rolled out comprehensively in all other areas. We will then achieve a good result. And also currently COCTA is revising the national framework on indigenous policy. That seeks to evaluate whether the goals of the current national framework of municipal indigenous policy and the guidelines for the implementation of municipal indigenous policy are being achieved or not. And the revenue steering committee, consisting of SALTA, national treasurer of COCTA, and provincial treasurer, as well as provincial COCTA, has been established to coordinate revenue initiatives for municipalities. And also at the national level, an intergovernmental debt forum consisting of Department of Public Works, COCTA, National Treasurer, Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, and SALTA has been established to resolve the organs of state debt issue. And as a result of this forum, the debt forum has been set up as well in each province to facilitate and resolve disputes between provincial departments and municipalities with the aim of settling arrears debt. And the BWU also undertook a verification process to authenticate the debt owed to municipalities, but this process was not completed and the land ownership issues were not resolved. And therefore, at that point in time, municipalities signed off what they reported as arrears. And unfortunately, the department did not set all the amounts concerned due to this challenge of the land ownership issue. And what has since been done in 2019, a budget of 100 million has been allocated to the DPW to finalize the resolution of this land ownership challenge department. And this will facilitate the accurate dealing, in particular to government, by municipalities. And also, DPW is in the process of analyzing the vetting process and also leading the government debt task team, and is in the process of facilitating the survey and vetting of the outstanding national and provincial debt domestic facilities and the verification of properties to confirm the citizenship. And the COCTA and national treasurers are also in the process of appointing specialist service providers to assist with conducting of cost of study, of supply study. COCTA is leading that. And Treasurer is also appointed to assist with the development of the tariff structure for municipalities to address the issue of tariffs. And this will assist the determination of cost-effective tariffs for municipalities. Then coming to the challenge around addressing governance, technical capacity and financial support. At a local government level, a critical research task team under the National Federal Technical Budget Forum was established to entirely address local government political framework, including the funding model for local government. I know honourable members in the previous engagement, they raised the issue of the funding model. So there's a tactic that is seized with this particular matter. And the GWS also, in an effort of addressing the issues around water conservation and demand management, installing bulk meters in some of the municipalities. You are mentioning, for instance, one as an example, a Joker, which is the municipality, is one of those. And also, in the same case, the following municipalities have been assisted by provincial treasurer and culture with the development of financial recovery plans and revenue enhancement strategies. We are assisting those, and there are others in other provinces as well. And also, the KZN steering committee, comprising of KZN culture, GWS, Ungeni Water, MISA, and all water service authorities in the province, have been established to assist, monitor, and support implementation of water conservation and demand management initiatives in municipalities. And the objective of this is to make sure that we address the challenge of non-drinking water, and we monitor this and report on a monthly basis in terms of the progress. And municipalities have undertaken individual initiatives to improve their revenue collection by installing their own water meters as well. And also MISA has assisted in developing water conservation and water demand management plans for Makana, Okama, Matiatiela, Asenzo, Maluta, Pokong, and the number of those municipalities, Mafube, Malaseni, and so forth. And again, the intention is to address the challenge that was reflected of the high non-drinking water and the water loss. And as an outcome of this, in Maluta, MISA is now implementing a pipeline replacement project to aid the reduction of water losses. And MISA also has implemented a replacement of 3008 domestic water meters in Tabazimbi. And the project was at a practical completion by 4th of April 2019, and we just did the final completion on the 31st of October. And in addition, MISA continues to support municipalities with capacity support through the deployment of technical expertise as engineers, learners, artisans, and water process controllers to enhance municipal capacity. In dealing with issues of defaulting municipalities, Treasurer is assisting about 100 municipalities with enforcing taking of funded municipal budgets. And the adopted budget in municipalities has been reassessed independently by the National Treasurer to ensure that they are funded. And those budgets that were found to be unfunded after the reassessment were required to correct this by revising the budget and retaking it at a special council meeting. And also National Treasurer signed letters to each of the other municipalities informing them of the outcome of the assessment and so forth. And to attain a funded budget, municipalities want, of course, to revise the original budget assumption, reduce the expenditure budget, and so forth. And of course, the aim is to restore a culture of payment of the current debt and make sure that we revise the unrealistic and unaffordable payment arrangement. This is the last slide, Chair. The next slide are annexes of municipalities that were supported by various government departments. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, CEO. Honorable members, that was the presentation. At least it was able to give us a direction. I'm now going to invite honorable members who wants to speak on the matter. 3 minutes ago. That is the honorable member, honorable Seki, and also with the member who comes to the room. that goes down to the last 3 minutes rule.
When you check.
Yes, if you take, no, I said the honorable member. So if you take your time in making your speeches, you miss the question. When the 3 minutes arrive, I stop. So 3 minutes you can ask questions that you want to ask all of them. But if you decide to make speech, support the member. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Chair. My surname is Roach. I'm a member of the Carpenter Committee. I have two questions. The first is, how many of the municipalities that owe this money to water boards are in fact implementing indigent policy? The presentation makes reference to indigent policy, but it has no indication of how many of these municipalities are actually implementing indigent policy, not to mention even having those indigent policies. They do. It's not a very, very complicated thing to have. The second question relates to the slides on page 18 and 19 on simplified revenue plan. Now, on slide 18, a number of successes are highlighted. It seems to be about 9, but it says that the plans were implemented in 42 municipalities. So do we assume that only 9 of the 40 instances where these simplified revenue plans have been implemented, do we have success to show? Or can you please give us an indication more precisely whether there has been success, progress in each of the 40 municipalities. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Pastor. You'll be the last one, because already I've taken the hand. It's the 3 minute rule. Honorable thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Your Worship. I'm smiling, Chair. Oh, sorry, I'm doing a preamble. Mr. Presentation, or the collective presentation, represents individual presentations that were done on that day. So one assessment says that there's not much change from what you are presenting. Would want to see action change. If you look at slide 9 and slide 18, slide 9 is giving a programmatic way of dealing with the matter. But I think what we want to see in this, because the issue is about debt, we want to see when we say you are dealing with billing, we want to see an actual report that deals with billing. Because these matters here are not like issues of last year, they are long ones. That's how I have presented.
Thank you very much.
Just one last point, Chair. On the first slide 18,
the 3 minutes is good.
Oh, just on the slide 18, if, because there is about getting results of what they plan, can we also be brief in terms of service in the current, what is the relationship between these benefits and also of service in the current? Thank you.
Thank you. I'm serious about 3 minutes ago. Stop making speeches.
Thank you very much, Chair. I also appreciate the presentation by the department. Chair, with regard to the pilot project, I would love to see piloting this prepaid meters in Machabeng. Raising this because Machabeng is owing a hotel airport the highest interest in terms of the debt to the water board, owing as a person of 3 billion. I would love to see the pilot being implemented in Emfuleni, because surely the second in terms of the municipal debt. We should not go to the lowest, that we can be able to intervene at a certain point. So let's go to Machabeng, which is the culprit, as we're speaking. And secondly, Chair, your slide 12, page 6, speaks to your slide 8, page 4, speaks to the appointment of independent revenue collectors for municipalities. My question is that has this already been done in some municipalities? How much are we going to pay for this independent revenue collectors? Do we have any regulatory mechanism that guides to appoint this independent revenue collector? Because I'm raising this previously, the Department of Water and Sanitation has appointed this service, this independent revenue collector, and they charged 10% of money. How much do we envisage in this water space now? Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Yeah, I think 2-3 million is that you've given us. The first question will be, do you have any implementation plan that you are going to be considered? For now, are you going to have the community campaign of encouraging a culture of payment for the citizens? Then the repair, the current repair, how do they deal with the current debt? Because they are owing the municipality, you know, a lot of money. While at the same time, the same people that we are speaking about, we may talk about the indigents, that some of those indigents are often children, and they are not employed. And then if they are even not getting the grant, what is it that the plan that you are having in helping those indigents often? Because they are unemployed, they are not even qualified to getting a grant. So what is it that the plan that you are having? And then the facilities owned by public works. Who should pay? Should the school pay or public works? Because this is another, you know, one factor that is affecting the school in most of the time. You find out that you go to school, you find out there is no electricity, or even if there is electricity there, there is no water. What is it that you are going to do to have an effective implementation to the schools?
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is on the SAU meeting. It shows that the department is very shy about the critical skills of people. It shows that they don't have those critical skills. Because when you see the billing system, it is killing our people. Because sometimes we find that they don't know how to bill them. They just bill them in the issue. And then also, Chairperson, in the issue of debt, when are we going to do away with this? Because it's a long time talking about the debt. And then the non-payment of our people, if you can understand that many people in South Africa, they are not working. We have a lack of jobs in South Africa. Critical vacancy. Because vacancy, even the department, they do have vacancy rates, but they are not hired to get to work so that they can manage to pay them. Because sometimes, we do have
good universities in South Africa, why don't the department go to the universities and recruit the people who have a critical skills in the university rather than crying about they don't have a critical skills in South Africa? And also, when they have to, did they do induction or workshop to make sure the person, he understands his work and the duties? And also, I want to understand with the department about the case that they say they are assisting municipalities. Which those municipalities can the department help us so that we will have to help them? About to name all these municipalities. They must not generalize municipalities. They must tell us strictly which municipalities, so that when we conduct our oversight committee, we will go straight to those municipalities and see what they are doing there. Because people are crying, there is no water. Water is life, department, please. People, they want water. And you see, they're eating in South Africa. People don't die. Those who have a problem don't have water in their area. Please, Chair, I want to ask the department if there is any mechanism to address the issue of shortage of critical skills and the issue of shortage of water within the community. And also, they must understand that.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Okay, thank you very much. Honourable Sky.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to raise a matter which perhaps has not been made by the Chairperson, given the issues that she has presented, where there has been a lot of intervention, the issue of preparing and also the issue that is raised that the whole text is historic. And the 5 to 10 years, to me, is not correct. It's not correct. It's a historic text that we have said, and we continue to sum up not paying for some particular reason. I want to make a proposal, which is a long-term proposal, Chairperson. That politically we need to go back to the order that we adopted. When we came to government, there were particular models where we chosen a particular one to help local government and government. Now, for me, there's something that we need to do to really do a research, broader research analysis. Did we adopt a good one for that? So that we have ourselves looking at very proper. It's important that we go back to the drawing board. Did we adopt a real model, systematic financial viability, organizational structure? Because the issue here is about who we are. Who we are. It's important that we go back and check that we adopt the right model. It's a long-term issue, check.
Number two.
I think I expected a lot, and now I'm disappointed again. If you listen to all the speakers, the ones that have already spoken, they are repeating the same thing, that there's nothing new that you are presenting. Maybe it's a high-level presentation, which I didn't expect, and I expected the real thing on how I'm going to deal. All what has been taken here is something that we know, but what we want to see on how, you can see the IMCC recommendation, which are fine. But now, when are we going to do it? And what is it that is going to happen? The truth, we want to find it, and this thing is our super safety. The historical things, the metadata, the in-depth monitoring, all those things. But after me, I'm not sure whether I'm being proper, even if I put it to the high presentation. And therefore, I'm mean, money to come at a level that will be able to understand us, so as to be able to move, to monitor and oversee the departments and all the things we call you up. The other thing that makes me to be happy is this one of youth and youth. We've been talking about this youth and youth. How are we going to do it? Because it also needs departments or deputy ministers, like, as we are talking with the two departments, but most of the departments, because the departments are owing lots and lots of money, then chairman is telling me that.
Thank you. Number three. Of course.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to appreciate the presentation. But my question, or one question which I have, based on the initiatives on accurate data and digital. I was looking at the municipalities listed here below, and one of the ones which I really know well is the Inokujima one, I think. To say, Chair, I don't know if we're only targeting the low-hanging fruit, especially in communities where there's a lot of unemployment, like as other members. What are we saying? I thought we'll take another sample of this list. How is there any improvement of that content? Are we have to target business because they take us to court when we don't see them proper? I know for a fact that when the municipality switches off, they target first the township. I've never seen in most cases a lot of business people queuing to the manufacturer to pay because their switched off. But the majority of people who would be queuing to negotiate or to go and make arrangements will definitely be people from the township. So I thought we'd have one of the samples to say this is what we have been doing in terms of business and this is the achievement. So that it should give us an idea which is balanced on especially on business. Thank you so much.
Thank you everyone for the presentation. I'm Emma Louise Powell from the Water and Sanitation PC. I've got three questions. I just want to clarify on the IMPT because we saw last week that despite the IMPT having been set up in 2017, last year the municipal debt accrued by further 1.7 billion and this year by further 1.8 billion. And then we also heard that the IMPT came up with a number of recommendations, but I'd like to know if the implementation plans on the actual work stream, so we heard about the high level objectives, but I'd like to find out if the implementation plans on the individual work streams have been submitted to Cabinet, or if it's just a higher level implementation plans that have been agreed to. Because last week in the presentation ourselves, we heard that they were still being finalized, and that is itself the presentation from last week. And then today, earlier this morning, just after 50 minutes of spoke, we heard that Interministerial Task Team has also not been receiving any attention in the 6th term. So I'd just like honest clarity on where we are with that. And then, scrutinizing the presentations from last week, something that concerned me deeply was that there seemed to be a lack of consensus between the recommendations of SELGA, CAFTA, DWS, and Treasury on the way forward, specifically with regard to the top slicing of equitable shares and conditional grants at the national level. So I'd like to find out what discussions are happening with regards to reaching consensus, because it's clear that the implementation plans of the IMPC and the municipal level interventions actually are not working, certainly not with enough urgency. And then lastly, I was in the Ubu District Municipality about a month ago and thought to myself the real...
next person.
Chair, thank you. I'll be quick. Thank you for the presentation. is high level, and we would have liked to see that they drill down a little bit, but I understand it will take a whole day if you drill down to everything. But there's one thing that I want to engage is the war leaks. Both Copter and Water and Sanitation has that leaks program. In previous portfolio meetings, we had presentation where there were thousands of people employed to assist with the war on leaks. We then requested that we get a detailed report where that's concerned, and that's 2 months ago, and still today we have not seen from Water and Sanitation. What I'm saying is that Salga gave a report last week saying that the one municipality loses 51% of their water before they get even revenue, so it's revenue lost to that municipality. If we want to work and support the municipalities, we need to have a detailed pipe replacement program to see what the department is doing with regards to pipe replacement, and then also a detailed report on what's a war and leak. Even COPTA has a war and leak, and are we, the two departments, speaking to one another to ensure that we can stop the loss of revenue, the loss of water, to ensure that this can be made. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, Chair. I'll start by saying one of the reasons why the traditional number of system of payments is the continued rise of unemployment rates. In fact, South Africa recently reported that unemployment in South Africa is rising to 29.1%. South Africa has a labor of 23.1 million people who are available to work, and out of that, 10 million is not working. So, but I was going to put my question. I just wanted to give you a brief overview of why people are not paying water, because they are not working. The government must devise a means of how people are going to find jobs. So my first question is, an economic regulatory regime has been seen as an option to regulate pricing and costing of water across the entire water value chain. Is there any research being undertaken to institutionalize this component of the water cycle? Number two, on slide two, the presentation talks of tariff deficiencies in municipalities. Could the presenter elaborate on this one? Number three, assistance, in most cases, the financial assistance is not the root cause of the problem in municipalities. But when you dig further, you will find out that the problem requires more than just money. Is there a system in place from the Department of Culture and Culture to assist in this regard? And how effective is Section 189 intervention in municipalities to assist the operational and financial aspects of work by dysfunctional municipalities, more especially in water services? And the other thing I heard is,
thank you,
the
you
last know. One is
no, it's 3 minutes. Give it to the last person.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. The presentation, all over the presentation, the government-wide campaign to encourage culture of payment for the municipal services. I would have wished that also that the presentation speaks to the wider campaign to get the root cause of what it is that makes that causes people not to pay in the presentation. Because we must get the politics right in South Africa. We must get the politics right. First and foremost, the question of inequality that are confronting our people. Hence, I'm saying we must get the politics right. You know, we must get the root cause of this in the presentation. Secondly, I want to speak to the question of if the municipalities are owing water boards and ESCOM so much. You know, and the municipalities also are owed by departments, financial departments and provincial departments. How is it that they are going to be able to pay a water bill and airport if the national departments are owing 72.4 billion to the municipality? How is it that they expect the municipalities to pay? And the question of the fiscal, and how municipalities get the 9% of the entire fiscal and expect the good outcome out of that to capacitate municipalities, particularly rural municipalities, because where we are sitting, there is a question in Mpewe where people do not have water at all currently, over 8 months. Now, and they have to be clamoring for ways in which they could get to the nearest farm to get the water, to buy the water there.
Thank
for 40 rand per 200 liter.
Thank you very
so
much.
This is an urgent issue, it must be treated as an urgent issue there.
Thank you, Honourable Member. No?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think Chairperson, if you look at the situation of the resources in Gaiuji, how much of resources has been absorbed by alien plans? And leakages, the World Link program is very big in 2020. Chair, I just want to bring to the attention of the policy that alien plans absorb 4,840 square meters of acres water. It's enough water that any plant absorbs to keep 10 families of 4 people supplied with 200 liters for each person per day for about 1 year and 5 months of water supply we are losing in alien plants. I think the Department of Water and the Department of Environment probably need to speak to one another to look at how we can, because we are losing a lot of water due to alien plants. The second thing that I want to speak on, Chair, is about Act 32, that the municipalities failed to adhere to the Act because there are many councillors that are in arrears, but as we know that if you are the ruling party, you can cover up for your members. And then my concern in terms of the water meters are our people are already struggling to pay to get this prepaid electricity because of unemployment. Now we want to bring prepaid water meters. It means that even though our people struggle with this, so that means that we will get a situation where our people will have access to a basic right that is water just because they don't have money or just because they are unemployed, they will be denied that right. We must rather create jobs to seek water, to fill the water
needed.
Honourable
Member,
there is also the problem of
Honourable Member, okay. Give it to another member. Honourable Member, at the back.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, firstly, I want to point out in terms of water pollution, what is the role of the water boards in the construction of the water treatment plants? Secondly, I would like to request to report on all municipalities outstanding debt towards water, not only that of the water boards, but also those water services like Matasana that are being provided with, by NBC, Metfall Water Company. Providing my persona. I don't see that included in this report. And then I also want to find out what is the financial state of those water services, or can I say water provide services. And that's my question. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You can give somebody one minute.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, all this presentations we've received, it's just words on paper. We've had this meeting last year, the year before that, it's not helping.
You will not force the municipalities to pay. You can put in prepaid meters that would cost you billions of rands in this country to put them in. The municipalities will still not pay. The only solution to resolve the problem in water and sanitation is taking away the authority to deliver water to our people in the country by the department. Take away their licensing, because they are failing to deliver water. This dysfunctional, corrupt municipalities need to be stopped to deliver water to our people. Salga and Kokta and all these institutions are covering up for municipalities not paying. You can come up with the best plans and you can restructure your debt, and next month you will restructure the restructuring debt again. They're not paying. And if we don't take bold steps, Deputy Minister, we're going to get in a worse situation than drought. We are sitting with collapsed infrastructure in this country. Let me tell you, I've been a councillor for 18 and a half years. I know I have visited numerous water purification plants, wastewater treatment plants. They are dysfunctional because the municipalities don't make money on water. They cannot run these plants, and it must be given to water authorities like water boards to run it on their behalf, even collect the money. I think we'll get a better rate getting those money in. So Chairperson, we've just seen in the last financial year an increase of 1.8 billion rand in revenue that's not being paid. It's escalating. It will be more next year. You can write it down now. We'll have the same meeting next year. You will have 2 billion rand that's not being paid. How are you going to pay the 19 billion rand of loans that TCPA has taken up if we continue in this space? So please, Chair, let's not talk about nice things that we want to have that we all know. You know this will not assist, whether it's water or whether it's electricity. Dysfunctional municipalities, they should not deal with issues that they cannot manage. So let's deal with it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Mokoto.
It was 2 minutes and 45 seconds, so you need to get a new clock.
Mine is 3. Honorable Mokoto.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to know if the department, Kokta and Salga, have a contingency plan to assist the majority of the working class who cannot afford to pay high tariffs of water, and even the majority of people that are not working at all, because as far as I'm concerned, only a few people, comparatively speaking, who are working are the ones that can afford to pay water. And then another question is, have Kokta started implementing the district development model? If yes, why did it take them so long to implement this model? And then after they have started, or after they are going to implement this model, I would like to know, is there any consequence management strategy that they are going to use in order to assist the municipality to pay their debt? Is there any consequence management plan that they are going to utilize? Because what they will come with all nice remedies or intervention strategies, but if there are no intervention measures that they are going to use, we are going to continue with this escalating debt of municipalities. Escalating debt that the municipalities are owing to the water board. Thank you, Chairperson.
Given the problems that were raised historically by the given the historical background of the problem that is raised by the members, I want to know whether it is not possible for us to have a communicable, even if it's a booklet, that we want to go to members around the country to do.
Honorable, switch off your mic, please. Okay,
I want to ask whether it's not possible for us to have a booklet that speaks to this decision, because this decision by the IMCC takes us forward in addressing the problem that we're having. For example, if we take slide 2 on the problem statement, slide 3 on the problem statement, but also overemphasize the issue of the water that we are losing before getting to the people. But that's what I want to know, that is there a possibility that we can have these recommendations and resolutions of the IMCC, which to me is important, because in there is Starga, there is Costa, there is ourselves. So it is at the same time, to me, it's a bigger point to me. They say, who agrees that we then think that the debt, we manage the debt, because, and finally, the MFMA, the doctrine on the budget that has been passed and the changing of the budget that has been now recommended here. That once that is done, we have got a very small workable communication document that we can all speak to one medium board and go and visit public meetings, municipal meetings, and communicate this thing and give it a try. But I don't believe that if we are there, there is something that can come out of this thing. Once we all work together, when we take the municipality, it's always.
Thank you very much.
It's us. So it's not a building, but people.
Thank you very much. Can we get the. We can start with the political head,
okay.
And then
okay.
No, honorable member, who can allow the.
No, can I please recognize me? I'm not going to call the people. I just want to raise the point of order.
Okay.
No, but what I want to say is this 3-minute rule is actually separating us. We never agreed on the 3-minute rule. We want to ask questions to Kofta, Salga, we have not yet finished. We never agreed on the 3-minute rule. So you are actually just separating our views. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable members. Let's get you ask the question. So I'll allow you to speak and then they'll leave. At 12 o'clock we are going out, they'll leave without responding, if that's what you want. Honorable Honorable member, I've noted you will come late. Let's have a report. I noted you will come late. Put your hand down.
Okay,
I'll
put
down,
okay?
No, put down your hand.
Okay, this opportunity to ask another round of questions. That's what I want to ask.
No, it depends on the members who they try. Listen, Honorable Iris. The program of Parliament, not my program, is that we meet from now until 12 to 1, after 1, and then 2 o'clock is the city. It's not my program. So if we meet, if we allow, if we manage time that will allow them to respond, if we still have time, we'll come back. And then we'll take other questions, but you must look at the time. You must go to the city. We have applied that we must meet the whole day, but we didn't get the permission from the house chair. So it's not our doing. There's nothing that we can do. Our responsibility is that by 1 o'clock, members go to their lunch because we are not saving lunch, and 2 o'clock, there's house meeting. That's why I'm allowing them to respond. First question. And then we'll come back. If there is still a time, we'll come back.
Okay, you will respect us all of the time. It's fine, let them continue, but I also want to know if we are not, what can we do the question?
No, Chairperson, thank you very much. Probably we should understand that your instruction to say we must work together has been taken. The fact of the matter that we have a joint presentation, joint recommendation, is a good step forward. There is a single-mindedness that we're no longer speaking in different tongues. Therefore, we need to be measured on that. It does not necessarily mean that there are certain issues that were found in agreement. Other issues were not found in agreement, and matters that is still to be discussed. But for the first time, we have a joint plan. Secondly, there's a historic debt. The historic debt, you can have a number of analyses, but the reality is that there was a time when there was a culture of non-payment. Probably one of the decisions we have to make is that all of us who are public representatives, whether we are councillors, MPs and MPLs, and government officials, should be paid as a start. So that we need to be able to live from the fund, because there are people who are sitting amongst us here who don't pay. And we need to be able to do that.
Honourable members, can you allow honourable members to respond? If we interject, we'll delay the meeting and the time is going out. Honourable member, if you cannot listen to other members, you must go outside and talk outside. Honourable TM,
Chairperson, we agree. Those of us who are in the position of leadership must be through action. All leaders must pay for services. Secondly, the other matters we are presenting in the document, they are matters that have to improve the systems going forward. There are a number of system inefficiencies. The billing system is one of them. All these other issues around asset management. And I think, Chairperson, we need to be able to take into account those other issues. The last policy matter, Monstration raising an honourable person, these are very big policy issues. The policy issue around the review and the functionality of local government, there's a lot of work that has been done. Remember, even the whole fiscal regime, where local government is given the smallest knife, and how do we expect them to succeed despite their weaknesses? Then there's the issues around the powers and functions that we need to be able to discuss. I do agree, probably, apart from the issues of debt, there are a number of aspects for each area we raise, what we need to do, probably allow us to come up with a detailed plan of action for each area and see how the system can be able to improve. But at the end of the day, leadership must walk the talk. Not only those in government, but also all of us who are living in different parts. We admit that those of departments that are owing, we should be able to move and deal with some of those particular issues.
Thank you,
Chair.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. We are taking the recommendations of the INTT forward in terms of a detailed implementation plan that we're currently working on. And at the point at which we have a detailed implementation plan, we'll be able to share it. But I thought it's important to just create a few categories, and given the limitation of time, I'll just focus on a few. The first is that the presentation says certain things that might not have come across too clearly. The first is it says we have municipalities that have unfunded budgets. So they have a budget where revenue does not match expenditure. Now, if your expenditure is higher than revenue, you are going to find yourself in a situation where you are unable to meet your obligation to pay service providers. So National Treasury has reviewed those and said to all provincial treasuries, ensure that the municipalities fix their budget. Now the presentation says exactly that, so that we can have a resolution to that problem. If you don't have the money, you can't pay. Let's solve that problem. The presentation also says that the bulk of our water losses are actually technical losses. These are infrastructure-related losses. We need to invest resources in ensuring that we reduce these technical losses to an internationally acceptable level. And these are water leakages across the system. How do you reduce the water leakages? The presentation says we're working on a process to deal with those leakages. And then there's a category of losses that are commercial losses. And these are losses as a result of billing, corruption and so on. And we're saying there's a process to deal with commercial losses. And some of the statements that have been made in the presentation say, instead of post-paid collection, why don't we move to a prepaid system where people are able to get tokens, to be able to purchase water, and then we're able to deal with an issue of people having paid for water that they consume on the basis of the prepaid policy. The policy statement that is made directly in the presentation, and I think it is indicative of processes being put in place to solve the problem. Last point, Honorable Chair, during the limitation of time, is the issue in relation to the indigent policy. Now, our equitable share model includes making provision for indigents to the extent that we need to ensure and facilitate that municipalities are able to provide free basic water and electricity for the poor. It is an inherent part of the policy framework that we've developed as a country, so that the poor are able to get access to water, sanitation, and electricity. Including, if you look at the tariff systems that allow for a block tariff system where the lower you consume, the lower you pay. The higher you consume, because you have swimming pools and other things, the more you pay per actual kiloliter of water. Because that ensures that you're able to build those higher consumers, higher than those who are lower, on the basis that the people who are lower are in themselves either poorer or and/or indigent. So the tariff system is designed to address that particular problem. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think both DMs have covered most of the points. There are one issue that I want to emphasize on, which we must focus to as a country. It is real that there is a serious culture of dumping in the country. And most of the members are coming from rural poor areas. You see, if you go to Bulukwan, as you drive out of Bulukwan, people are building outside the municipal land so that they are hot to pay services. You can go to Eastern Cape, you can go to any area. The interest there is not to pay services. I mean, if you go to Dumar, for instance, driving out of Kingston, in the open land, which is traditional leaders' land, people are being mentioned there and they're not paid. I think the issue here, Chair, is that we must recognize that challenges that we're facing are historical challenges. Historically, the country was providing water and other services to a tiny, small group of citizens. Now, since we went through 1994, the demand become more bigger than what it was historically. It's a historical matter that we must not brush it aside on our mind. No, thanks, Chair. I think there are some guiding principles which I think, listening from the comments, I think we seem to be dropping the ball. the first mistake that we're doing is that I mean the other side.
Honorable members.
Yes.
The first thing is that they're making a mistake of looking at matters in isolation. In the process, they miss the interconnectedness of issues. For instance, let's look at the value chain, because the first thing that we need to do so that we don't become all over the place is to make a correct diagnosis. Where is the cause, where is the challenge in the value chain process of providing the water? Here is the case. You've got the water boards that provide bulk services. So they do meet the obligations of the customer. In this case, the customer is the municipality. We also meet the obligations of our customer. In this case, who is our customer? It is the government, it is the business, it is the household. And let's remember, in the context of providing these services, we are using the user pay mechanism. So, if you then say the municipalities are not paying, it's because those who are servicing the customers, in this case, which government, which is business, and which is also household, are not paying us. So we mustn't look at issues in isolation that municipality is not paying water board. Yet it's a fact. But why? It's because the government is not paying us. It's because the business is not paying us. And it's because the households are not paying us. When we've met our obligation of providing a service. So those are the issues. But now, what we need to answer is to then look at the factors. Why these customers are not paying municipality? Because that is the genesis of the challenge. It's not municipality not paying water bill, but these customers that are not actually paying. Secondly, this is not a municipal problem. It's a problem for all of us as government. And again, there will be no single one intervention that is going to bring the resolution. To overcome this challenge, you need some intervention in terms of infrastructure. We spoke about the issue of land revenue water. If to address that, you need to replace the infrastructure, the old infrastructure. There's no other way. And that requires funding. Two, you need to deal with the issue of behavioral change. People not actually pay, those who can afford, they're not paying. How do you achieve the issue of behavioral change? This even applies to government. Because government is not indigenous. They do have money, but they're not paying. How do you achieve the behavioral change? Three, how do you deal with the issue of funding? For instance, most people, I think one of the members raised the issue of the economy between gig and actually shaping jobs. Because of the user mechanism, we are using the equitable share. But is the equitable share covering all people who can afford? That is the scientific. So you have to also need to strengthen the system. The billing system, yes, we are taking that view. We need to be assisted. I wish to remind you, I can't remember the name of another member who said, you need to take away the license. Probably we need to remind each other some basics. Why? Because we are in a country which is governed by constitution as a high law. It says in section 154, maybe to remember, to also remember, the higher spheres are there to support and reinforce municipality to be able to play their role. Your role is not to take over, you have functions of another sphere. Your role is to support. And we are missing all these things. Another thing that we need to do, another intervention, is the issue of the revenue collection. We are not honest to ourselves. We have never dealt with the revenue collection in province and nations. SARS is doing that on your behalf. And then we have an unreasonable blame municipality, because if you compare a municipal revenue collection unit with a business in terms of systems and capacity, even SARS failed with its capacity, failed to collect, fell short by 54 billion. With each system, go to the municipality and look at the revenue units. And then we expect it to have a 100% collection. I don't think we're being honest. And again, there are some inconsistencies. For instance, the councillors and the municipal officials, by law, they can't owe the municipal services for more than 3 months. But it doesn't apply in other spheres. If you owe that, you can't even trade with the local government. But if you owe local government, you are able to be trained everywhere. So those are the interventions. We also need the legislative framework intervention to cure some of the deficiencies. So I'm saying, Chair, in closing, let's not look at the matter in isolation. Municipality is owing water board, municipality is owing ESCOM, it's a truth, it's a fact, it's verifiable. But it's because, again, the municipality is being owned by the government, who is sitting here, is owned by a household. Some of them, they are also in government as leaders and officials. They are owing. That's why we are unable to pay, and also the business. Thank you very much.
Are you done, Mr.?
I'm not sure whether I should
I will answer that.
That's two specific questions, Chair. Some were already answered by the leadership here. So I'm not going to talk about the question around whether these municipalities that are owing bonds are implementing indigenous and policy. DMS responded to it. I'm not going to respond to the question. Then there was a question around the actual report on the initiative. On the actual report on the initiative, we'll talk about the billing, executive as detailed. As we've said, Chair, these are recommendations of the MTT and the implementation plan that has been presented to MTT and endorsed by the MTT. And also the cabinet has endorsed the recommendation. And what is outstanding, answering the question whether this implementation plan has been presented to cabinet. No. But at the MTT level, they were presented and all that. The next level is to present them to the cabinet. And there was a question to add Matabeng, Fulene, and others. I think let's take note of that, Chairperson. The first level out of the plan, once it is funded to all the municipalities. But for now, the four municipalities that were selected and not for pilot. And an implementation for community campaign, an implementation plan. Yes, we have developed that indicated in the communication strategy for this to be rolled out. And on the vacancies that Honorable Kaba raised, there is already a plan to assist municipalities with filling of vacancies. I think at the departmental level, we can share what the department do to assist municipalities. But there are plans, of course, to assist municipalities which are ongoing. Name all municipalities that have been assisted in KZN to address the debt issues. I've indicated in the slide, say all 10 water service authorities, the district municipalities, there are 10. We can name them, all the numbers, one part was indicated, all the 10. I think they've made a proposal in terms of how to deal with systemic issues. And let's go back. I think we have noted those issues and we agree with you. And these are the issues that, in fact, are ongoing in terms of discussion around the viability of municipality. So it's an issue that I think we can, at an appropriate time, come and share what is being done. And that the DM must have indicated about the process around the powers and functions that is being undertaken. On the billing, I think we also indicated what is being done through the simplified revenue plan. And on the municipalities that are reflected as improvements, we can share, we have just indicated in the examples of those municipalities, we can share in terms of the overall, which are the others as well. Of course, DWS can respond to some of the questions relating to the detailed report on the war on leaks. But from the missile point of view and what other government departments are doing in addressing the leaks, in the slides we have indicated in terms of the water conservation demand management and also in terms of what DWS has done in Chongqing and I suppose other municipalities as well. Other issues I think we responded to around tariff deficiencies. Okay. Yeah. there was a question on the effectiveness of 139 for Mr. Shipping and to that in terms of responses. On the issue of how much of this water losses has been absorbed by the Alien plant, Dr. Chow, head of NTMC, I'm sure that is in responding to that. And of course, we take the note that we must not just focus on the water board. There are other utilities that belong to municipalities, like Machosan and so forth. We are taking note of that. I think those are the answers that I could provide here for now. And my colleague will respond to the question.
Thank you very much. There are hands that I'm going to recognize you. All of you can raise your hand, but you must allow me to finish it, what I'm going to tell. I think Honorable Kankat, we have called the meeting for us to get solutions. So, you know, I was saying it's advantageous because of maybe you're sitting at the wrong side. Actually, you say this is you are dropping the ball because you're supposed to be this side because you're a lawmaker too in your sphere of government. So we're saying let's bring hands together and see how do we resolve this challenge. And firstly, I think you proposed the recommendation that first we would need the action plan around this recommendation. Two, the issue, honorable members, when we sit here, there is government policy that if you are indigent, you are not paying taxes. Let's not repeat it and talk about, and if a person is not working, we'll go to municipality and say, I'm not working, we'll get free services. And talk about, we're talking about people who are working, which must pay services. I think that's where we should start. So in this meeting, we are not talking about people who are not working, because those people, government covers them. But SALGA treasury is here. SALGA has raised an important element that the indigenous policy does not actually cover the amount that they give it to the person, the end user. You give them 8 rand because that they cost it 10 rand. So if you are going to resolve the matter, we should look at that one. So that our people who are not working, they are being subsidized as policy attributed. So avoiding situations that we have excuses. But one of the good things that Treasury has raised in the last meeting was that not all municipalities that are owning water boards are being owned by departments. So a SALGA should not generalize the problem. I think as we move resolving this problem, we must unpack it. It should not look at municipality by municipality. And what Honorable Basson is saying, in municipalities that cannot perform their functions, we should realize that all of us the same, that the Constitution says we should progressively provide this right to our people. And if one of us in the process is not doing that, the others that are there must be able, as you have seen, but the provision should not be stabilized. I think that's what is essence, what Honorable Basson is saying. It's not saying municipality must not exist. It says those that have difficulty to provide the rights, but we are dealing with the bill of one of the rights that is enshrined in the Constitution. If one of
us at the spheres of government unable to provide services. Those that are the second and the first, as they intervene assist like we do with Section 89 and other things, but we should not allow that destabilization caused to the end user, which is the people who have put us, all of us, in power. I think that's what the statement of Honorable Paul Basson was saying. He was not saying municipality must not exist, in my understanding. So I want us, I'm going to allow hands that actually add to the resolution recommendation put by government. What is it that you think should happen again to assist this process? And in the next meeting, which will agree with the chair, would call the same team to come and give us an action plan so that we could oversight on the action plan. So I'm going to invite them that say, adding to what should be done in the process of making, because we're talking about death here, nothing else. So other things will come, they'll have their own meeting. Here we are resolving the death problem that we have. I'm going to start with Honorable Basson, Honorable Sweki, Honorable, I don't know your name, I'm sorry, Honorable, and then Honorable Power, Honorable Mosala, also at Ari. And then three rules again.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, precisely what the gentleman has said is the big problem. Municipalities are not paying because someone else is not paying them. I want to give you an example. If you buy a car and you finance it through the bank, and someone is not paying you, what's going to happen with your car? The bank's going to go and take it. It's your responsibility. It's the municipality's responsibility to collect people, the money. It's not the government's responsibility. It is that local government's responsibility to collect the money. And if they're not capable of getting that money in, national government must intervene to make sure that services are delivered to the people on the ground. And that is the core business of a municipality. If they get the function to supply water or purify water or deal with wastewater, they must act on behalf of government that gave them that responsibility. And if they cannot do it, it must be taken away from them. So don't come and tell us government is owing money, you cut them off. If people are not paying the municipality, you cut them off. So don't come and tell us what is your problem. Come with a solution. What are you going to do to prevent government not paying you, prevent people not paying you? So Chair, please, we need, as you said, we need to get to the point of this. Why are municipalities not paying? Why is it possible that you get your bigger municipalities that buy water from Rand Water or wherever they buy water, they pay for their water? They've got the same kind of people staying in the area. You don't hear them complaining like this gentleman is complaining, the government is not paying, business is not paying, and people on the ground is not paying. We know what's going on in local government. They utilize that money that they get from people paying. They pay salaries with it, they buy cars with it. They utilize it for the wrong reason. The money should be ring-fenced. If you get money in for water, it should be ring-fenced. If you get money in for electricity, it should be ring-fenced, and it should go to that institution where you get the services from. So let them get to the point and not telling us why they're not paying.
Thank you very much. Yes, I have no question.
Thank you, Chair. That is our word, the Mashok. Okay, some guys are a bit different. I think we should agree that what some guys say in terms of people dropping the ball, the department has dropped the ball. It may not be you, but the sins of incumbent apply. It's a perpetual responsibility. To be honest, Chair, Mr. says that this proposals have not yet been presented to the executive. So, for Sanzendri Kogel, we are still in the process of brainstorming. No. These issues, they should have been done 10 years ago, according to Salva's presentation. So, the issues about agency. Chair, I don't know your 3 minute rule still applies, but it still applies.
Yes.
Then that's who we need to
move. Yeah.
Because you are raising issues like Joseph Sabo, people are building in the communal traditional leaders avoiding to pay. It is the responsibility of municipality to introduce by law. Because they see that money is running away. Run after this money. The issue of SARS, how SARS does their job, it's your responsibility, comrade, to make proposals to National Treasury or to whatever way you have to get this funding. But I will share your summary. I like it because you are assisting the bigger picture. This issue of, what is the right word, run share, what is the right word? Equitable share. It's a challenge. And I think COFTA must mobilize the National Treasury about these matters so that they can be resolved. You know, on that day when you are presenting, I wanted to say Viva Salga. Because your issues are our issues. These are issues that we do oversight on them.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member.
Thank you. I think I still believe that maybe it's right that the recommendation by the ICT has not gone to cabinet. It came here, but cabinet was going to ask him whether have been speaking to the parties involved before they so the procedure, the system is correct that when we go there is our agreement. But at the second point. And I think we have left out the top sliding part of the just some companies must appreciate that they have failed in a certain way. Therefore they can't behave as business as usual. So the top sliding cannot be overlooked because they must also own up to the fact that something that they were supposed to do they did not do. So when the top sliding, you take a beat and go and say that they have to still give the money for them to get operated. We need to still give it that. And my view is that let's take this matter to the cabinet, bring it, give us a plan, that plan of how to go and talk to the ratepayers, businesses, even those, and all stakeholders, even the chat, the chat, the land, where I'm saying, which is where they're taking the place, people are looking for. But if you are coming from the and every day they might be confused because you are coming from the Poison Cape and everything. But I think let's have a plan to implement this intervention. This intervention is very important. Treasury is agreeing, MFMA process is going to overlook in order to be everything. It's the way forward that you can see with this.
This is the second time we've been sitting here today, and all of the officials from the various departments have come here now. The thing is, have a great cost to the taxpayer. And we have today not heard a single new solution. Mm-hmm. So with great respect to all of your professional integrity, we have a crisis that is confronting this country that is going to bring municipalities to its knees. And as members of Parliament and as members of the Portfolio Committee, we sit here demanding answers. We understand, sir, from Salga, my apologies for not knowing what you said, but we understand what the issues are. We do not need a response from you once again problematizing the issues. In terms of the IMTT, this adopted strategy that has again been presented to us today and these recommendations, sir, again, with respect, the IMTT was set up in 2017. These recommendations were tabled in the past 3 years. We've seen, as I said earlier, 1.7 billion rand additional debt accrue last year, another 1.8 billion rand additional debt accrue this year. What we would like to know today is what the various departments are doing to stem these losses from a systems perspective. My question on whether or not there is consensus between the departments on the top slicing of the equitable share and conditional grant has also not been answered, and I'd like a response on that because the presentation presented to us as members last week said that there's a divergence of opinions between the various departments. So I'd like to understand, because I think that as a number of members here have mentioned today, that is a potential solution. Amending the Public Finance Management Act and concomitant constitutional clauses, if that's what it's going to take. But what we need here are real tangible financial solutions. That's number one. I've got a minute and 10 seconds left. Number two is that from...
No,
I have got a stopwatch running here, Chair, for 3 minutes. I'm on 1 minute, I'm now on 2 minutes. So the second issue is that at the City of Cape Town, I worked in the Water Department of the City of Cape Town for 7 years, and one of the things that enabled the City of Cape Town to derive revenue from their customers was that they had an end-to-end ERP, Enterprise Resource Management System, that integrated everything from billing to addresses. The municipality was able to keep track of who their clients were, how much water they were using, and bill them and turn off their water when it wasn't working. So I wanted to suggest as well that Enterprise Resource Management Systems perhaps be piloted at a national level and rolled out at a municipal level, because, for example, in Ugu, they don't know who they're billing. They're deriving 22 million rand worth of revenue every month, but their staff salaries alone are 40 million rand. Billing systems are very important. Thank you. I've got 7 seconds left.
Honourable member, your minutes, I don't think we are using one phone and it cannot be... Your 3 minutes is gone. Honourable Masala, it's 5:11:58. You have 3 minutes, which means 12.
No.
Yes, we are going to finish. If we are not, I'm going to cut 3 minutes. Talk, Honourable Member.
Thank you so much, Chair. This time around, I'm not going to speak long. I'm going to, as you said, we must focus on debt. We are going to be there. But the problem is, talking about this debt, you need to go and look what is the root cause of this debt. For example, now, I'm happy on Deputy Minister Mahlo is here. This question is directed to him. There was a 3 billion project that was initiated to deal with water, with the issues of water, war on the planet. We want to know what is happening with that project. The project was initiated to employ 50,000 activists. We want to know exactly what is happening there. That is part of what we call death, because they are moved from the tech, from the past, and initiate a project and the project that we assist with anything, because there is a good project that will allow the way. That's why we always say that. The other thing is, this is about section 159. I've not yet been answered to. The gentleman there said another one will respond, but he was cut off along the way. So I don't know whether I'm going to be responded or not. Thank you so much, Chair. I'm not going to waste time. I think I'm on 1 minute. Thank you.
Honorable Makoto. Guys, then we've got a problem with the watch. We have to put it there.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to make a follow-up on the questions that I've raised. I'm not answered. When I spoke about the working class, I was speaking about majority of our society in South Africa who are earning less money, who perhaps would like to pay their services, their water services, but they are unable to because they cannot afford because of the high cost of living and because, again, of the high tariffs that are built to them. So my question was, because we are going to introduce the prepayment method of getting money for the water services from the people, but you mind my way. Most of the people won't be able to pay for that prepaid. As a result, the people will start marching towards the municipality because their water will be cut off from their meters or from their taps in the area, and there's going to be a problem. And we'll be going back because we wouldn't have solved this problem of majority of the people that are supposed to pay the municipality for the water that they use, and majority of these people not being able to afford the high tariffs. I was not referring to the indigenous people. I was referring to the people who earn less money. What is the contingency plan that we have to help?
Can you help us, honorable member? What is less money?
What is the difference?
Honorable Zeki. Honorable Zeki. Honorable Zeki. I'm telling the meeting. Honorable Zeki, can you stop that? Honorable Mokoto.
I'm talking about the domestic workers who are living in municipal area. I'm talking about the people who are working in the factory. I'm talking about people who are doing labor work, who are working, in the street, who are waiters and waiters.
Okay.
I'm expecting to go.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, honorable member. I think that DM you'll just talk about people who are indigenous, because domestic workers are part of indigenous. So you will talk about, you are referring to which category in terms of the structure, what you are going to speak.
Thank
honorable,
you.
Switch off your mic, honorable member.
Thank you, Chair. I think my fellow colleagues just referred to those people that don't get equitable share, that the equitable share people only get the 70 units, but the reality is that I think we need to go revisit that indigenous equitable share policy. Then the other thing is, I don't think that EFF thinks that independent revenue collectors are the solution, meaning that it will create collective income for the municipalities, because they must also get the thinking of the debt collectors. Why don't we rather point full-time people to do that work? And then the other thing is, many of the municipalities don't really have a debt collection system in place, because there are municipalities, and even one of our members in our own committee has admitted that he don't pay for services because he don't get a bill every month, and that's why the baby is not paying for the services. And then the other thing is, in terms of the businesses, that 24.7 billion that are owned by businesses, why don't we just cut off that and also list businesses, but also not even give them that option of being on a direct system?
Thank you very much. Honorable member, and honorable
no, thank you, Chair. I am Becky Hudson from H. Thank you. I think first and foremost, Chair, I fully agree with the principle of...
I No,
thank you, Chair. I fully agree that we need to inculcate the culture of user pay principle. That I fully agree with. Having said that, Chair, what we need from our side is the long-lasting solution which will be sustainable in future. The concept or the program of prepaid meters, there is no substitute for experience. And I think the city of Cape Town would be a good case study for how water prepaid meters have failed and how they have succeeded, if they have at all. I'll tell you why. There are serious challenges. I've been a councillor for the past decade in the city of Cape Town, and they've introduced that program of prepaid water meter. it came with serious challenges. One, immediately after installation, you will have faulty meters. Now you will have meters that will cut off water. It will take plus or minus 5 days for officials to come and fix those meters. In that process, you are depriving communities their fundamental basic rights to access water, because that faulty meter is not as a result of their own doing. So a good case study ought to be undertaken prior to the implementation of this process to get the pros and cons, so that when we roll out and implement in other provinces, people are not going to be confronted or faced with similar challenges that were experienced in the city of Cape Town. As a result, people resorted to physically removing those meters, taking the city to court to fight the injustices that came with these prepaid meters. But it is a good concept only when it is properly implemented and we understand exactly what it takes for us to be able to run a smooth sailing process. I was initially tempted to respond to the Honorable Council, but I've resolved not to do so. No, I'm not going to do that. But in future, I think we need to adopt the culture of being responsible.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. I think, Honorable Members, one of the things for us to be able to move forward and have a good understanding and resolve on issues, when we listen to one another, and when we allow those that are given responsibility to share the meeting, and allow those that are supposed to give information to give information. If we want to ask questions and cloud them with lot of issues, but when they didn't hear you, you complain that your answers are not being responded to. So I think it's important, if you want clarity, put your questions such that all of us can hear that the Honorable Member so ask this question. From the chair, can you even remind the people that you have not responded to this question? But when you just talk and talk, speaking, and I can't even hear what you're asking, and then they don't respond, I'm unable to help. So you help me so that I can then be able to make those that are supposed to respond to you to answer questions. I'm not going to allow you to answer, but based on the we're at a way forward. We're trying to wrap up. There are just little things that they are still outstanding, those that have been asked. We agree that those things, the recent thing should be the first one and the top slide. Because without that, we will not get anything. And then user principle, user pay principle, way to go. And government, we know, has got a policy to cater those that are indigenous. Those that are not indigenous, they are not being covered. It's a responsibility, not responsibility of government. Government implements the policy, that the legislation that is passed by us. If we have to add the category, other category of people on the indigenous to increase the level, we must take that legislation as parliamentarians. So government now talks about the policy that has been agreed as indigenous. So can we get your report? Maybe start with the officials and then it comes to the politicians to close. If they ask, can we give it to your political agency, because we are not going to speak after them. I'll start with the Honorable Council.
It looks like it's a lucrative
matter. It's not really lucrative as you may want to believe. Because it will be very bad, I think this is what I've said in the last meeting on that event. When you talk about top slicing on the equitable share, whatever, the reality of the matter is that you then punish the voters. Secondly, I hear that members of this House, they don't agree with my fellow councillor here when he says that 165 billion rand is owed to municipalities. And I think we are given charge. Please let me try to speak on this one. If you then deal with the top slice, it will be incorrect the top slice to be focused to local government and is not focused to departments that are owing municipalities. So you haven't addressed the issue. You haven't addressed the problem. And that is why in the meeting, the first meeting that we had on Tuesday, and today the consolidated presentation, we believe it's a matter that between all those participating, led by cooperative governments and traditional affairs and treasury, it will be important for all of us to look at that, discuss, and I understand it is that there was an agreement that they will look into that as all parties. Because my sense, where I'm standing, if you top slice, don't top slice on only one sphere of government. The top slice it must be also applicable to other spheres of government. But it's a matter that it must be debated. The second issue on the 139, I think there was a question on section 139. Or maybe let me leave it for GM. But what we understand as Salga is that there was an assessment made on the effectiveness of the introduction of Section 139 and its weaknesses in getting the desired outcome. It has been acceptable that Section 139 hasn't produced a desired outcome. And you can go on and various municipalities where Section 139 was introduced. I think to me, I think on the issue of the, you directed the DM to answer that. I wanted to talk about this issue of working type of debate. But DM has been given the
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think that the meeting has suggested that we go back and consider a number of proposals that have been put on the table. And we should acknowledge those proposals and go back, including on the top slice and the point that the Council of the Village is making, that in fact you must be equitable in the way in which you deal with top slices. So we'll take all those proposals, go and look at them, and go and look at what the implications are. We need, and I agree, Honorable Mashiba, that we need an all-of-society approach. Because in reality, local government is responsible for the provision of some of the most basic services and needs. And as indicated by the chairperson, it is important that we also work on the basis of the need for the progressive realization of the rights of access to water and other socioeconomic rights. And therefore, we need an all-of-society approach. In this instance, we're still talking about an all-of-government approach and seeking to resolve that. But we need an all-of-society approach where, when people can afford to pay, they would understand that I have an obligation to ensure that I pay because, in fact, this is a service that's being provided. And when people are poor and government says we intervene through providing for three basic services to be provided. Let me allow that. Now, even in my earlier response, I indicated that part of the solutions that have been looked at are certainly to provide for an indigency policy that would set a benchmark on not just zero income, but low income, so to say. But it goes further than that in many of the municipalities, because that's what an inclining block tariff is. An inclining block tariff, as implemented in many municipalities, is a tariff where if you consume lower amounts, you pay a lesser amount for the water. If you consume more, you pay more. So in essence, it works on the basis that poorer households do not have, for example, the geyser, the number of geysers in the household, a swimming pool, and so on and so on. So on the basis of that, you work on the basis that you create a tariff model that acknowledges that some of the people are of a lower income. On the other hand, it is also about disincentivizing high water usage in our country, because we do need to disincentivize high water usage and the abuse of water. So it is important that we take that as part of the intervention to address the needs of the poor and the working class. But it's also important to state that the decision to determine which tariffs are levied is a decision of the municipality. That municipality then goes to the regulatory authority to say these are the tariffs that we levy, this would be the indigency policy that we levy, and the regulatory authorities would review. So the Department of Water and Sanitation would review matters in relation to water and sanitation tariffs. COCTA would review rates. National Treasury and others would review. NERSA would review electricity tariffs. So there are regulatory authorities that govern how tariffs are set. So it's not one body that sits and determines tariffs for everybody. Our law is not written in such a way that we can put the federal government and prescribe tariffs throughout the country. Our law allows the institution, that is the body that is elected, to set the tariff and for the regulatory body to review and approve the tariff. And I think it's important to keep that at the back of our minds, because when the presentation was made, a point was made around there are tariff issues that need to be resolved. And that was an acknowledgement that some of the tariffs, and it is not fallacy to say, we have seen instances where the bulk tariff is higher than the reticulation tariff. So the amount at which you buy water is more expensive than the amount at which you sell water. And we say, but there's a problem with this juncture there. And that juncture requires a resolution, because otherwise the municipality will never be viable. So when we're looking at this set of solutions that we need to focus on, they start from the point of dealing with the budget, dealing with the bulk service provider, dealing with the tariff structures that are in place to ensure that municipalities are able to generate their profit revenue, and then dealing with the losses to get into the billing system. And maybe in a future conversation we might structure the presentation in a much more simpler way that enables us to almost look at it from a value chain point of view. So from the point of the bulk service provider, what happens along the value chain and how does that impact on the rest of the value chain? Because then we can make interventions at different points of the value chain to arrive at the solution. But I think that the suggestions made are really welcome, and we would go back, and as indicated by my colleague, this is a beginning of the process where the committees have said, go and work together to resolve the problem. And we can commit to work together to find solutions and at the appropriate times periodically report back to the committee. Thank you.
Just as a question to honorable members, I think yourself, before you gave the second round to honorable members, you gave a very profound summary of how should we move forward. And I think we agree with that this should not be the last engagement. The real engagement must happen now. Along the lines, Comrade Dao is saying that let's come back with a detailed plan of action now. The high level issues of melting up, there are issues of the historical debt, but there are issues of improving the system, because after 25 years of our democracy, we know that there are certain policies that have unintended consequences now. One of them is the tariff system, our management inabilities around asset and billing system, all these other issues that we need to. Let's be able to come back and deal with that. And I'm happy that Comrade Dovile, with respect to the top slicing, I don't think we're far apart now. The issue that Sasa is trying for is consistency. Because they too are being good, and I think we'll be able to find one another. My last point, Chair, not that the water related matters, we don't want them to address them. We don't want to address them in a piecemeal. If someone wants us to address matters of war or peace, we'll address them within the broader chain of management of the asset in the value chain, because it's one element around conservation and demand management. But the asset itself, in terms of planning, in terms of development and management, is a bigger issue that we need to come and discuss. I will not be able to be selective and discuss those issues about land revenue, water, and so forth, including the colleagues, honorable member, who raised matters of pollution. That's why I'm for us to come and discuss the state of our rivers in our country and see the set of actions we are doing and the weaknesses. But the last point, Chair, is the issue that we need to break the cycle, us as leaders. I'm hoping that probably when we put the recommendations to come before the organization, we'll also even make suggestions that those of us in leadership must do the honorable thing. If it means in future we need to change the laws to bar leaders who are not honorable, we need to do that. Because it's us who said people must not pay. And it's all of us that must go back and say people must pay. While we're fixing the institutional weaknesses in the sphere of local government. But let's not throw stones in a house where we all live in a glass house. But equally so, accountability, we can't effort to put it aside. Those that are giving responsibility are correct. Let's live up to the dictum of providing leadership. But we are looking forward to share that, at least even including your report, some of the issues there we can be able to fight. I would go back to cabinet training so that that gap that happened in the IMCT, not effort going back to the executive. But the executive would be much wiser and much enriched that was benefited from your input here. So that when we go out and speak to South Africans in our own small corners, we start to pay what we have said for the future. Thank you.
That should be the principle. We know that there are challenges of
Hispanic living in public of South Africa, which is something that you do not know who must say that you got. But Treasury is recognized that this building belongs to government. There should be a mechanism that, because we are the treasurer, you should actually come into part and assist those municipalities where there is the identity challenges. The other thing should be that I think Honorable Member has left, but a very important element, because Honorable Dang, when you talk about you have a situation where the bulk tariff being higher than the reticulation one, which in the meeting of that we had to vote about at some point, when we asked, was responded that it's because municipalities themselves, they are the most polluter in the system where they pollute the water. And when the calculation in terms of their tariffs are calculated based on what they use to clean water back to the system, it's something that as you deal with these issues, this issue of wastewater should not be left outside. It should be encompassed so that you deal with them holistically, so that you then protect the soil. But at the same time, because you know the reality of the matter is that the end user is the one who's suffering at the ultimate end. So we should then work towards protecting the end user and make sure that our parents are such that encouraging our people to pay. You know, in last meeting, Honorable Dawu raised the issue